We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Rather than looking at principles around Easter, where there's a lot of things that we can, a lot of principles we can learn, I thought we'd look at some of the characters around Jesus during that time. Not the ones that helped, but the ones that interfered or interrupted what was going on. Why? Because I feel like I do that. I feel like I interrupt. He's on this path to redemption, and I try to get in help, and then I end up interrupting and messing up. But the thing is, nothing throws God off. And next week, we're going to talk about a whole crowd that tried to reinterpret what was going on when Jesus came to Jerusalem by calling him this king. We're going to wave palm branches. It's going to be an exciting day. We're going to have a continental breakfast, and we're going to celebrate the king coming into our lives, so to speak, as he comes into the gates of Jerusalem. But the stories of the rejects in the story are relatable to me. No matter how I try to be good, I muddle the story of a sinless Savior, and I know you do too. We like to say that we help, but often we get in the way. And whether it be Barabbas, who caused Jesus to be interrupted, or Judas, or the parading crowds like we're going to talk about next week, none of our interruptions get God off track. I want you to know that. Jesus interrupted was the very thing that gave him actually the opportunity to advance his plan. Didn't hold it back. He used it all. He used Thomas. Not you, Thomas, but he probably uses you too. Even you, Thomas. Even you, Jared. Even you, my friend, Austin. He will use Judas, Thomas, Peter, even Barabbas to guide him towards his goal in this world. And he does the same today with us. He takes our brokenness, he makes us whole. He takes our weakness, and he shines strength through us. How could he look at me? But he does. He shines strength through us. There's a book that just came out last year called Jesus Interrupted. I didn't know about it before we said this, and it's not a good book. Talks about how ironic and how it tries to find wrongs or mess-ups in the Bible where one place it said this, another place, you know, and just one, for instance, Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about next week. We won't get into this, but Matthew talks about that there was a donkey colt, there was a colt, and there was a mom with them. Is the colt the baby? Yeah. And there was a mom with them. There's two. And then another place it just says a colt. So what's going on here? Is there some mess up in the, and it sucked all about this stuff. But what the truth is that Jesus allowed interruptions to illustrate the fact that he works in our uncertainties of life. And last week I called the message Villains of Victory, and today I want to call it Criminals of the Cross. Two C's. Brother Ron, you'll go with that. Would you pray with me? And if you're taking notes, write that down. Part two, Criminals of the Cross. Lord, we thank you for the remaining time that we have together. And we refocus once again that you are here with us in our midst. I pray that you would open up our ears to hear. Lord, we thank you for the warm weather. And I thank you that I'm even a little bit warm in this room. That means that it's getting to be springtime and we can turn off the heat. So we're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for this season. And we pray that it would reflect the season that we are going to in our lives, that you would spring into action in many ways in our hearts and in the way we do things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask a question. It's a loaded question, but it's this. How many have ever, it's appropriate, how many have ever been so focused on something that you don't respond when someone is talking to you? I've never done this, but some of you. Here's the thing I just heard this week. They were teaching at my daughter's school, which I'm glad because they need to understand the difference between guys and girls, and don't think I'm going to get embarrassing here. They just said one of the biggest differences is that girls can do a couple of things at once, and they can hear and they can talk and they can be doing something. But guys, you're going to, the teacher told Reagan and the girls, you're going to have to talk, look at them and make sure they hear you before you say what you want to say. You don't just ask it because they might not be thinking. They might not be concentrating because they're walking or they're looking at their phone or something like that. And it's funny, but that's really, it's so true of us that it's hard. And so she said something to me, and she said, Dad. And I'm like, I'm listening. She's like, no, you're not, because I have to get your attention before I say it. And it's true. Or else you have to ask it again. I thought it was interesting. Does any ladies in this room know this about guys around you? That doesn't mean that you're smarter than us, or maybe it does. It does. But it just means that we have such big hearts that we focus on what we're focusing on before we can focus on something else. We want to give everything full attention so that, you don't want to be, yeah, anyways. I apologize for when I'm texting. I apologize publicly because you want to see everything about us. I apologize when I get a text and you ask a question. I'm looking at the text first, and I apologize. I shouldn't do that. I should not worry what the text says and say, honey, what do you have to say? Do you want to share? I want to hear it. I want to process it with you. Yes. Look at this story. I'm glad that Jesus isn't like this. I'm glad that God is not like this. He actually takes interruptions when he's doing something else to actually take these moments and use them and show us who he is. He takes those moments when he's got to be doing something else. Every time we ask him, right, he's got to be working on something, but he takes the time and he shows us who he is by responding. Look at this story. Talk about interruptions. Jesus could not have had a more important task that he was doing and a more strenuous focus that was involved. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we find Jesus saying this, and he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then right then they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The Bible says in such a reverent time that these people are fighting over his clothes and tearing them off him and gambling for them. And in the midst of this, Jesus was taking on all of the sin of the world. You won't understand. You won't grasp it. It'll just explode your mind. But every sin past, every sin present, and every sin that would ever happen was now upon him, and he was taking it on him on the cross. It wasn't just pain. It was spirit. It was emotionally. It was physically. And I can't imagine the spiritual warfare that was taking place in a realm that we couldn't see, as a spirit of death and a spirit of defeat and a spirit of just sin was upon him on that cross as he suffocated. The cruelest form of punishment that had ever been created at the time, the crucifixion, the Romans' instrument of pain. There is fear, there is defeat all over him. And right in the midst of it, we see Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Let's skip to that, verse 39. It says that one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly for what we are getting. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Even in the midst of the pain that you read, it talks about the Father literally turned his head from Jesus. It's the first time where Jesus doesn't have God's presence with him. It is nowhere to be found. Jesus is now interrupted from bringing salvation to mankind by this dying man on the cross. Yet God takes the moment to pay him a little bit of attention. And a little bit is understating, because it says, verse 43, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And this next thing I want to declare is exactly what Becky declared, exactly what everyone else that came up here to the stage declared earlier. It's exactly what the worship team declared through their songs and through their song picks, because I didn't have anything to do with their song picks. And this, can I declare over someone today that there is nothing you could do that is too far gone from Jesus directing his forgiveness toward you. If he's on the cross and this criminal next to him shouts out to him and he takes the time to talk to him, he will do the same for you. This man, this criminal, was way past judgment. He was on the cross already, being crucified. We see the pictures, and I don't know, I've heard a couple of different things. Well, he's nailed, and they're roped up there. I believe they were probably nailed as well to the cross. This criminal on the cross didn't live his life repentant in any way, shape, or form for what he had done. He had, repentance means to stop, turn around, and start towards Jesus. Start walking towards Jesus. That's what God's called us to do. We'll call it repentance, and we'll say, oh, we're sorry for our sin that we're going towards. Jesus, please help me to not do this. I'm enjoying this sin. Well, I repented. I don't know what happened. No, you talked. You gave lip service. But repentance means to turn. And this man literally cannot repent because he's at this last breath on the cross. Well, he did repent, but he doesn't have time to live it out. He doesn't have time to turn and start living for righteousness. He's good as dead, and he asked Jesus this question. It's the ultimate depiction of a Bible verse. Romans, put it up there, Romans 5:8. It's the ultimate depiction of that verse. It says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. I think everyone can read it from the back, but maybe you can't, so I guess I'll read the whole thing. While we were still sinners, he's literally still a sinner on the cross next to him. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was Christ interrupted that did this. But if I was Jesus, then thank Jesus that I'm not Jesus. I might say to the man, do you have the gall to ask me right now, in the midst of all of this going on, you know what I'm going through here. You're literally going to ask me if you can be with me in heaven? No, you cannot. Do you know who I am? Yes, you're a criminal. You're a sinner. You don't know my life. I never saw you at the church. I don't know who you are, and you don't understand. I am coming up here on this cross as a sinless sacrifice for the world. I've done nothing wrong, but you are a thief. You are perhaps a murderer. You don't deserve the forgiveness. No, you will not be with me in paradise. You have done nothing to deserve it. I want you to know that all of us, Jesus doesn't respond this way. God doesn't respond this way. This is not God's heart. But we all deserve to be told that. You don't deserve, well, I have been in church for a number of years. I have done this and that. No. None of us deserve anything that Jesus wants to do. None of us deserve forgiveness. Well, yes, this is a simple concept. We need to be reminded, because I don't think we walk thankful enough for what he's done in our lives. We don't deserve it, but God demonstrates his own love for us. That while we're a bunch of losers in New Song Four Square Church, he died for us. More than losers. That's an understatement. But can I stop here and say we do not have the right to ask. There's no place too far gone you can go that Jesus will not come for you. Well, this is for someone who's first coming to Jesus. This is for all of us. There's nowhere too far gone that you will go where Jesus won't come for you. I know people in our church who have served Jesus their whole lives, yet they're in rehab or they're in jail or they're in a situation because of things they've done. Well, they're supposedly a Christian. Yes, you can be a Christian and those things can happen. And Jesus will come for you. He came all the way to the cross to talk to this man. You think the criminal interrupted Jesus? No, Jesus interrupted his life. I'm sure the Holy Spirit had already been speaking to this man as he's going up, maybe literally getting him to his knees as the cross fell on his back as he's walking up this road to Golgotha. I imagine the Holy Spirit had long before started to whisper to him, just as he did to all of us. He interrupted us. Oh, well, I came to Jesus on my own. I know I say this a lot, but no, we didn't. Jesus loved us second. No, Jesus loved us first. And that's why we can love him. And I don't know if Jesus orchestrated it just so that it was this day that he met this man at the cross. This criminal needed a one-on-one talk with the only one that could help him at this point, and Jesus was there for him. And he does the same for me. And I think he does the same for you. You could probably see that in your life. He'll wait as long as it takes to reach your heart. He will go wherever he has to go to have a one-on-one conversation with you. He'll take his time and he'll wait until it's the right moment. That should be a comfort to all of us here that have kids, prodigal sons, brothers, sisters who aren't serving Jesus right now. Jesus will find them, as was stated. He will go, leave the 99 and find the one. We're thankful, God, what this criminal shows us. And we admit that we're just like this criminal as well. There's another criminal that was on the cross on the other side of him. It was the more violent criminal. He said this in Luke 23:39, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Irreverent as it could be, Jesus didn't reply to his statement. But if I was Jesus, I would have said, "Dude, that is exactly what I am doing. Saving yourself and us right now. I'm doing that. But I won't respond to you." Jesus didn't say that. He just was quiet. Talk about interruptions. I would say of the two criminals, I don't know where he was, on the left or the right. Let's call it the left. He was on the left. He was the worser interruption, I think. They were both an interruption, but he was the worser of the two. Here Jesus is trying to save all mankind, and this man questions why he doesn't just save all mankind. Dude. Disrespectful, insensitive, call the criminal what you want. But once again, like we talked about last week with Barabbas, the Bible is a mirror. We look at the Bible, and the thief is a picture of us. Well, I would never say that. I would never do that to Jesus. I would never question who he is. I would never interrupt his plan in my life or in everyone's life by questioning what he's doing. Think about that. I would never interrupt him. He's got a plan. I would never interrupt his plan to question, "What are you doing?" You have a story probably more serious than this one, and I have a number of other stories I could say, but there I was one day finding myself driving to, and I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm even doing this. God, what in the world are you doing? Aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you who I preach about and who I talk about? Why did you let this happen? ungodly things? I know my brother Andy knows that question all too well. His little granddaughter, great-great-granddaughter, but 5 years old, dying of cancer just a couple weeks ago. And you say, what is going on? Have you been there? Asking the thief's question, aren't you the Messiah? Save us. Essentially, the thief is asking the age-old question, are you God? Well, then prove it. Prove it. If you're God, you could make all of this disappear. Why is this happening? And for that matter, why do any bad things happen? We're considering a series about this in the future, but today I don't want to go into it too much, except to say this, and I need some worship. Maybe the worship team, you could all come up. We interrupt this regularly scheduled broadcast to bring you this breaking news, and that is this. When we come to a place in our lives where interruptions happen, and I'm not going to belittle them today, but when we assume bad things are happening because God failed us, which is our go-to response, right? Oh, thank you, God, you're so good. You do all these great things. And then something bad happens and we blame it on God. That's our go-to. When those bad things happen to us, what do we say? What is the question that we ask? Jesus interrupted us. Is not Jesus in a helpless place? Jesus interrupting, Jesus being interrupted by our hurt, Jesus being interrupted by your fill in the blank, by your kids, by your wife, by your family, by your mess, by your doubt. Jesus being interrupted by our questions is not Jesus, what do I do? What do I do? It's not Jesus helpless. It's Jesus divine. It's still Jesus divine because he's still Jesus divine. He's still God in our lives. And any interruption, wherever it came from, God is still right there in the midst. It's the exact places that his presence comes the strongest is in our mire, in our muck. Case in point, where God is the strongest in the weakest moment, the cross. The worst day in history. The worst. It's the worst. Jesus finally dies on the cross after all these claims, after everything he said, after all the miracles. Oh, you're building up to this. If I was Francis Ford Coppola directing this play, I would not let this happen. I would not let this happen. But the worst day in history becomes, because it's Jesus, the greatest day in history. Oh, you're telling me that this is going to be the greatest day in history because of the horrible thing that happened? No. What am I trying to say? Whether it be a man on death row, dying on a cross, our best friend going to prison, our youngest son dying in an accident. Whatever it might be, these things, these interruptions, the sin in this world, it's all horrible. It's demonic. It's terrible. But Jesus interrupted, comes near to us, grabs us in his arms, and he holds us, and he has his presence comfort us. He becomes God with us because of Jesus. Would you close your eyes today in your doubts, in your addictions, because there are addictions represented in this room today. In your sickness, in your sadness, in your failed marriage or your failing marriage, in your lack of direction, in a life where your lifestyle seems to not be headed where you want to go to get what you want. I want to be this in 15 years. Whatever it might be. Jesus interrupted comes near to you. And he may not answer your questions. And if you notice in that scripture where the man said, "Save us, Messiah, aren't you real? Aren't you God?" Jesus didn't answer him. He didn't say a word to him. The other man he responded to. But I want to conclude today, not with all of the answers you need to life's toughest questions. One, because I'm not smart enough. But I will rather leave you with another question. Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me more questions as I leave this place. I want to ask you this simple question. Which criminal are you? When you seemingly go to interrupt Jesus, which criminal are you? I want to sing just the short, we're almost out of time, so I just want to sing just that short part. Oh, the never-ending, overwhelming, whatever the words are, amazing love of Jesus. Just a couple of times. I want you to just consider that, just meditate on that. Which criminal are you? Which one that was on the cross? How will you come to Jesus? It was said at the beginning of the service message time, let go and let God. And I want to ask you, when you approach Jesus, you come to him with accusations and bitterness for some of the things that you're dealing with? Or do you come to him like the other criminal with humility and repentance? Do you question, God, are you there? Are you divine? Are you still Jesus divine? Are you so interrupted? Are you so confused that I have to get your attention before I talk to you? Or do you accept that he is a good God? Ask that to yourself. Do you accept that he's a loving God? One criminal, one thief. He didn't wonder if God was a good God. He knew it. He just accepted it. And then he asked for forgiveness. Our response to this right cross, left cross will determine how we live and how effective the middle cross will be in our lives. The violent thief. This might be for someone in the room. He covered up his sin. He didn't talk about his sin. He talked about this guy. Pointed his finger at this guy. The other thief, he admitted, we're sinners. We're on death row. We're as good as dead. We deserve it. I think the one thief that pointed his finger was kind of like us in our religiousness. Asking questions that don't matter as much. Philosophy questions, sometimes that's important, but I think that there's a lot of millennials and older folks as well that ask questions that don't matter. Yes, you don't know the answer to them. God is bigger. And you ask this philosophy, does he really exist? Is God real? Well, why does this happen? Well, how come of this? Well, how long has he been there? Well, how long did this happen? Or instead of just being open and saying, I'm a sinner. I didn't earn this. I need your forgiveness. And that's the one Jesus responded to with forgiveness. I want to repeat. Conclusion today, there is nothing you could do that is too far gone from Jesus directing his forgiveness to you. It's never too late, as you see the man on the cross. There's no place too far you can go that Jesus will not find you. Notice these were written before I knew about your song here. It's perfect, but he will wait as long as it takes to reach your heart and will go wherever he needs to go to have a relationship with you. In our questions, Jesus says, hey thief, I want to replace your cross. And this is how we ended last week too. But I want to replace your cross with paradise. And until you get to paradise, there is a path for you full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of forgiveness, full of grace. That's what he gives us. That's what we walk out of here with. Would you all bow your head just for one moment? Raise your hand if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus or need to recommit yourself to him. Just raise it up. Amen. Everyone now, would you all raise your hands and say this with me? Father, thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you for my forgiveness. I will never question your goodness in my life. Help me walk in love. In peace and in joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.